Parshas Vayeshev, just after Shishi, in Perek Lamatet, Pasuk Tet, when Yosef HaTzadik is being enticed and trying to be persuaded to commit an Avera, so he says the following words, very important words, and I'd really like to focus, if I may, on two of those words in particular. Yosef says, I cannot possibly sin. Much as I'm being tempted and convinced and persuaded to be over this Avera, but I cannot be nichshal ba'Avera. Why not? So listen to the following words. Ve'eich e'ese. How can I possibly do ha'ro ha'gedoyla ha'zeif, this terrible evil. Ve'chatasi le'leikim, I will have sinned against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, he says, I cannot perform this Avera, I cannot commit this Avera, because how can I possibly do this terrible evil, the Chatosi Leloikim, and I will have transgressed against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chatosi from the word Chet. It's really these two words at the end of the pasuk that we'd like to discuss tonight. What does that mean? Why is he adding those words? How can I do this terrible thing? V'chotasi le'leikim, and I will have sinned against the Rebbeinu Shalom. It seems extra or almost tautologist. You've already said that. You've already said, I cannot do this. Ro ha'gedoyla. V'chotasi le'leikim, and I will have sinned against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does that mean? So, maybe we can explain in a couple of different ways what did Yosef HaTzadik mean when he added those words V'chotosi le'leikim, and we will see Be'ez HaShem very very important principles, very important yesodos in how it is that we grapple with Averus and how it is that we deal with the Yetzer Hara when the Yetzer Hara tries to convince us to do an Aveir. Let's begin with some psukim in Sefer Yecheskel. The Navi Yecheskel approaches Klal Yisrael and he gives them a whole drosha about doing tshuva. The opening words that he says to them is, as the Kodesh Baruch Hu instructs the Navi, he says, talk to Klal Yisrael and tell them, Kein Amartem, you have said the following. What have you said? So Rashi says that Klal Yisrael did not want to be Chayza B'Tshuva, and that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent the Navi to convince them to go and do so. Why did they not want to be Chayza B'Tshuva? So Rashi says because Klal Yisrael thought Sheloi Toil Lochem Tshuva. The Tshuva won't help. So it's not that they didn't want to do Tshuva, they didn't believe in Tshuva. That's what Rashi says. And that's why Yecheskel HaNavi was sent by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, convince them to be Chayza B'Tshuva. Why do they need convincing? Because apparently they don't believe in the Koyach of Tshuva. The question that must be asked on this is, and this is asked by Ritzel Blaser, one of the prime Talmidim, as we know, of Yisrael Salanta, in his Sefer Koich Ve'oyer Simon Gimel, and he says, let's make a very, very simple calculation over here. We can be rest assured that the Doir, the generation of Yecheskel HaNavi, were far greater ma'aminim than we are. That is a pretty fair assumption to make. And yet, they don't believe in Tshuva. They believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they believe in this, they believe in that. For whatever reason, they don't believe in Tshuva. Says Ritzel Blaser, we believe in Tshuva. Every Elul, we hear a drasha about Tshuva, and everybody sits there nodding their head. Yeah, that makes sense. I'll be chayz with Tshuva, back to normal. A clean slate. Yeah, sounds good to me. We're such big ma'aminim. We're greater believers than those in the doir of Yecheskel HaNavi. That doesn't seem to be the case. We struggle with emunah. tell the person who's struggling in his business that don't worry, emunah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it all comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he won't take that necessarily sitting down. And when he sees his neighbor outdoing him in business, you tell him a drasha and emunah, it's all predestined and it's all divinely ordained and he should have this and you should have that. And we don't just sit there nodding our heads. And when it comes to tshuva, we're more than happy to believe. I've never heard somebody say, no, I'm struggling, I don't really believe tshuva will work. And here you have the day of Yecheskel who don't believe that tshuva will work. A very, very powerful question, Mechayr. So Ritzel Blase explains in a very typical, simple, but yet very profound and important way. Klal Yisrael are about to enter the Yom Tov, and they weren't convinced. They weren't convinced. It says in the Gemara in Pesachim that they said, one moment, in the same way that we managed to cross and get to the other side, maybe the Mitzrayim have done the same, so what have we achieved? We've all just ended up on the other side of the Yom Tov. Until the Yom Tov spewed out all the dead bodies of the Goyim, and then they saw, oh, Hayah Yisrael, Hayah V'Agdoyla, their tremendous emunah. So the Gemara uses a peculiar phrase. And the Gemara says that Klal Yisrael were Miketane emunah. They were minor, minimal believers. What does that mean? Either you believe or you don't believe. What does that mean? They were mekitane emuna, slightly minor, minimal level of belief. Exactly the same phrase that appears by Nechem Ateva. So Itzel Blase explains again in a very typically simple way. There was no doubt that Klal Yisrael for sure believed in the koyach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can split the Yom Tov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do Esemakas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do everything. They had no problem in believing. They were ma'aminim. Make no mistake about that. But the highest level of emunah is to believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do something which doesn't make any sense to you, which is, in your eyes, illogical. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can produce thousands of miracles every day is not illogical, it's just supernatural. I believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do supernatural things. But I don't necessarily believe that he'll do something that makes no sense. Klal Yisrael considered it to be illogical that they should survive and the Mitzrayim should be killed. We all remember what Chazal say. Klal Yisrael wa'ovdei avodah zarah. The Mitzrayim wa'ovdei avodah zarah. Quite frankly, we're not better than them. You want us to believe that we have survived and they have been killed, but we're not better than them. That doesn't make sense. Where's the logic in us surviving and them being killed? That requires an altogether higher level of emunah. Not just that I believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do everything, he has the supernatural koyach, but I'm even ma'amin in those things that don't make sense. As far as I'm concerned, for Klal Yisrael, why should we survive this ordeal and the Mitzrayim should be killed? That's what it means, ketane emunah. They hadn't yet reached the shleimus. They weren't maxi ma'aminim, they were mini ma'aminim. That's how he explains. So let's come back, says Rabbi Itzel Blase, to tshuva. We sit there and we hear a drasha about tshuva, and we sit and we smile and we think, yeah, fine, I believe. What does that mean, I believe? Does tshuva make sense? Is it logical or illogical? Somebody's committed an aveira, and through a process of tshuva, it's as if it never happens. L'chayr makes no sense. L'chayr, it makes no sense. Says Rabbi Itzel Blase, it only makes no sense if you have a full understanding in the gravity of the Aveira in the first place. The more severe the Aveira is in your eyes, the less tshuva makes sense. If an Aveira is, oh, shame, it's Mechal Shabbos. Okay, these things happen. I have to do Vidui, I'm going to do Tshuva, Kodesh Baruch Hu forgives me. It makes sense. Nothing much happened, nothing much was forgiven. So it's easy to believe. But if you believe that Aveira is an enormous tragedy, and a colossal misdemeanor has taken place, then proportionately Tshuva makes no sense. The greater the chet, the less Tshuva makes sense. Says Rabbi Tzur Blaza, now we understand what happens in the day of Yecheskel. The day of Yecheskel lived at the time of the Beis HaMikdash. They saw Nisim every day, they saw the Beis HaMikdash, they saw the Karbonis, they saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you see the Melech in front of your eyes, then by definition every Aveira is magnified 1,000 times. The greater the Melech, the greater the rebellion against him when you're over an Aveira. That's why they were Ketanei Emuna. For them, Tshuva didn't make sense. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is too big in our eyes. Meaning, Aveiras are enormous. And if Aveiras are enormous, what does that mean? That we can be forgiven? Says Rabbi Tzur Blaza, it's not therefore that we are greater believers in Tshuva. We just don't understand what Aveira is. That's the difference. So the Dori of Yecheskel, who didn't believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would accept their Tshuva, and the question was, but we all believe it, we have no problems in Emunah, what, we're greater Maminim? We're not greater Maminim. But as far as we're concerned, Tshuva is much easier to digest. What happens? We don't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. We don't see Asar HaNisim every day. We don't see Karbonos every day. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, Kaviyachol, more concealed to us than he was in the times of the Beis HaMikdash. So an Aveira, by definition, is not considered by us to be so severe. And if it's not that severe, then Tshuva makes sense. Tshuva makes sense. So it's not that we're greater Maminim, we're just less appreciative of what an Aveira really is. And why is that? Because we have less of a Hasoga of the Gadlus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's how he explains very beautifully. It's interesting. Talmud Chacham once told me in Yerushalayim, cousin of ours, Rav Moshe Kalbach, Shalom Refuah Shleima, he once told me, very typical look of his, I was once in his house, I think it was during Elul, talking about Tshuva, and it was just at the time that one of the American presidents was leaving office. I think it was Clinton, it doesn't matter. And he said, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done a tremendous chesed for us. There exists in the world a concept called a presidential pardon. Here you have a president who's been in office for 4 years or 8 years, he's leaving office, and for some inexplicable reason, somebody's been sentenced to death or life in jail is just let out. Why? Because the president just fancied letting him out. Could be the worst murderer, the worst thief, it makes no difference what he's up to. The president, that's his prerogative. Doesn't make any sense? Makes no sense. So why did it exist? He told me, this Rosh Hashiva of Kalbach, Kadosh Baruch was doing us a great chesed. Everything that happens in this world is a moshul to the Olam Haruchni. The ultimate presidential pardon, which is Tshuva, also doesn't make sense. But we see it exists in this world, so it just makes it more palatable to us. So it's a great chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu instilled in the mind of somebody to come up with this notion called the illogical presidential pardon that helps us swallow and digest Tshuva more. It has been pointed out, famous Gemara, everybody knows the story. Rabbi Akiva is walking up towards Yerushalayim, towards the Mokim HaMikdash, and he sees the place where the Beis HaMikdash once stood. Foxes are coming out the Kodesh Kachim, the other Tanoim cry, and he laughs. And why does he laugh? He says, don't worry, everything will be fine. The Novi tells us, even though it will get into ruins, that there will be a restoration, and he laughs. The same Rabbi Akiva, in a different Gemara, Gemara in Novi says, what would be if you have a piece of meat in front of you, and as far as you were concerned, it was non-kosher? and you decided you're going to eat it anyway. And you ate it. And it turns out that it was kosher. So in fact, no avera has been done whatsoever. Although you attempted to do the avera, but nothing happened, because it turned out to be perfectly kosher. Rabbi Akiva learns from a pasuk in Parshas Matos, he still needs an atonement for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even though he never committed the avera, but the attempt to do so means he's chayav a kapara. So the Gemara, when he read that pasuk, he burst into tears and he cried. I want to point it out, a phenomenal observation. He sees the Beis HaMikdash in ruins. He sees a fox crawling out of the Kodesh Kodshim, he dismisses it, he bursts into laughter. He sees a pasuk that talks about somebody who almost did an Aveira, but didn't, and then he cries. What a phenomenal imbalance. You see the Beis HaMikdash b'churbanai didn't faze him. But he sees a pasuk that talks about the unsuccessful attempt at an Aveira, or he couldn't take that. Then he burst into tears. Because for big people, Aveira, chet, is a very serious issue. It's told about the Vilna Goyen, that the Vilna Goyen once on Shabbos saw a nut on his table, and he picked it up, and when he took it to his hand, he saw it wasn't a nut, it was a nutshell. A nutshell is mukta. Vilna Goyen fainted on the spot. Fainted on the spot. The next morning, they discussed it, and he fainted again. Until his wife had a look at it, and she ate it. I've heard different versions of the story. One version was that she showed it, in fact, it wasn't a nutshell after all, it was a nut. Another said, no, it was a nutshell, but she ate it because she thought it was just a koch nefer. She's going to keep on fainting, what's going to happen to him? But either way, the Vilna Goyen had the notion that he might have been over an Issa Drabonon, Beshoigeg, accidental Issa Drabonon, made him pass out twice. Because that's chet, that's aver, that's too big. He's told about the Briska Rav. The Briska Rav, before he moved to Eretz Yisrael, as his name suggests, was the Briska Rav. He was the Rav in the town of Brisk. So as one of his duties as the town Rav, he had to periodically check the local mikveh. On Tisha B'Av, when the mikveh was closed, he went to check the local mikveh. Somebody accompanied him, and he had to check everything was okay, water, the way it was filled, the way it was cleaned, the way it was emptied. And he noticed there that there was a crack in the wall of the mikveh. And if there's a crack in the wall, it means that water from the mikveh could be flowing out. And under some circumstances, that could render the mikveh possible. And the Briska fainted on the spot. He fainted on the spot at the thought of all the repercussions that could mean, that this mikveh is invalid. They revived him, and it was proven, it was shown that it was okay, the mikveh was kosher v'yosha. It was fine. Decades later, when the Briska Rav had long moved to Eretz Yisrael, a yid comes to visit the Briska Rav. Shalom Aleichem. Aleichem Shalom. He says to the Rav, do you remember me? No, I'm sorry, I don't. Do you remember me? I'm back from the, back in the day, I'm from Brisk. Remember, I once accompanied that Rav on that Tisha B'Av night when he checked the mikveh and he thought, the Briska Rav fainted on the spot again. 20 or 30 years later, he fainted. This is 20 years after the story had happened. He'd already been told the mikveh was kosher, but merely reliving that fright of thinking that it might not be was too much for him. He was overcome and he fainted on the spot. Told about the Stipler, the first time that the Stipler, Chaim Kanievsky's father, met his prospective wife, who eventually married, the sister of the Chazayin Ish. So on his first shidduch, he kept falling asleep. Not the most romantic of shidduchim. She was there trying to talk to him, he kept falling asleep. It turned out that in order to meet this young girl, he had to take a very lengthy train journey. I think it was in Russia, but I'm not 100% sure. and there was a question as far as the cycle was concerned that maybe the seats on the train had a question of shatness, which even if it does, according to most opinions, it's not a problem to sit there anyway. It's not, you're not wearing it, it's not the clothing. But the cycler therefore didn't want to sit on the seat, and he stood. There are different versions of the story, but it doesn't matter. For several hours he stood on the train, and he was so exhausted from that that by the time it came to his first shiddush, he fell asleep. But this is the way that Gedolei Yisrael, big people, viewed Aveira as a very big issue. And the reason why they viewed it as a big issue, because they had a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Somid. It's the first Sif in Shulchan Aruch. Siman Aleph, Sif Aleph. If you have a Kodesh Baruch Hu in front of you the whole time, then Aveira, by definition, just takes on an altogether different meaning. It is amplified and magnified a thousandfold. So we'll discuss it. So this is the opinion of Rabbi Yitzchok Blaser, where he says, therefore, back to those in the generation of Yecheskel, they had no problem in understanding Aveira. To the contrary, they understood Aveira all too well, because they saw the godless of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why they couldn't understand how Tshuva works. Ketanei Emunah. But for us, even Ketanei Emunah, we can appreciate or understand or think we understand what Tshuva is all about, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have that same godless in our eyes. By definition, therefore, Aveira is not such an enormous issue. So Tshuva, therefore, in turn, is also not so difficult to understand. If we come back, therefore, to the pasuk we began with, Yosef HaTzadik says, "V'eich e'eseh hara ha'gedola hazos." How can I possibly do this terrible evil? V'chotosi le'elokim. What was he adding when he was saying these words? And I will have sinned against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What he was saying was, I think, that's the explanation of why I cannot possibly do the Ra HaGedola HaZeis. Because that will mean that I've sinned against who? Le'elokim. And Yosef HaTzadik knew full well what that word means, le'elokim. He had a very clear picture, as clear as a human being can have, of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And hate, therefore, in the eyes of Yosef HaTzadik, was colossal. To us, it's not so big. It's unfortunate, it's a shame, it's a, I wish it wouldn't have happened. But Yosef HaTzadik says, "V'eich e'eseh ro ha'gedola hazois." How can I possibly do this evil? V'chotasi le'elokim. I will have then sinned against the Almighty, against the great Ribbono Shel Olam. That's too much for me. Because the more I see the godliness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the more I see the gravity of hate. I cannot possibly bring myself to do it, therefore. But it could be that there's another explanation. Aveira, hate, as we just explained, takes on an altogether different meaning when you truly appreciate the godless of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't appreciate the godless of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore hate perhaps is less severe in our eyes. But there's another key over here, and this I think will answer your question, at least in part. Hate will also take on an altogether different meaning if we appreciate not only the godless of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the godless of ourselves. The more a person views himself as a godl, the more hate is something that I can't possibly do. A young child has no problem in eating and spilling all his food over his clothes. Why? I'm a child, I couldn't care less how I look. But somebody who's more mature as an adult, maybe I'd like to eat like this, but I can't. Pastnished. Inappropriate. For a person of my age, my stature, my whatever, it's inappropriate. Not so much therefore because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's godless, but because of my own godless. And this is where the Yetzer Hara comes in. the Yetzer Hara comes in and he says, when a person is facing Nisayim, no, and if you do an Aveira, it's such a big deal. Are you such a big deal? Are you such a big person? I understand, if the God of our day does an Aveira, that's a huge rebellion in the Kodesh Baruch Hu. But you, little old you. So the Yetzer Hara over here doesn't come, Chas V'Shalom, to diminish in our eyes the godless of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He comes to diminish in our eyes our own godless. And we know the classic example of this, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, in one of his Shmuzim quotes it. Two Eidim come to Beis Din, and they're about to give testimony on a very serious case, life and death. If they lie, we could end up putting somebody to death. Shaloi Kedim. So before they give the Eidus, the famous Chazal, what does it tell us? We tell the Eidim, be careful. When man was created, he was created alone. Adam Arishon was the sole person on this planet. And every single person has to know, therefore, that if you kill one person, you are effectively killing all of civilization. And a person always has to say those three words, Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam. The world was created for me. I'm the only person, as it were, who exists. Rashi explains, Choshev ani ka'olam mole. I am so choshev, I'm like a whole planet, I'm like the whole world. That way, they will not come to sin and give false testimony. So Reb Chaim Shmulevitz tells us, this is the key. This is nothing to do with Anova or Gaiva. This is a person's recognition of what he is and what he's capable of. If a person realizes what he is and doesn't allow the Yetzer Hara to persuade him and confuse him and to trick him into confusing, you're a nothing, you're not some great Rosh Hashiva, you're not the God of Ladur, you're just an average old fellow in the street. So if you commit an Aveira, you say this piece of Rosh Hashanah, or if you don't daven on time, it doesn't really matter. Who are you anyway? Chazal are telling us the opposite. Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam, the whole world was created for me. I'm like Adam Arishon, I'm the only person that exists on this planet. Therefore, the attitude to hate really should be, and this therefore will help us see Chayz of the Tshuva in turn, if we don't see the godless of HaKadosh Baruch, we should at least see our own godless. This is inappropriate for me. I might not be the God of Hadoer, I might be far from it, it doesn't matter. Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam. It's inappropriate for me, Chas V'Shalom, for the big me, the Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam, me, to be over this Aveira. Therefore, if we come back to our apostle, we'll have now a new understanding. Yosef HaTzadik says, Eich Eseh Horoh HaGdeila HaZoy, how can I do this terrible thing? V'chotosi Leilekim, I will have sinned against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we explained initially that the stress is on the Leilekim. I will have sinned against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the great HaKadosh Baruch Hu in my eyes. But maybe also the stress is on the first word as well. V'chotosi, I will have sinned. Not only is the godless of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, at stake, my own godless is at stake as well. V'chotosi, I will have sinned. Yosef HaTzadik recognized who he was. How can I do this Roh HaGdeila? Why is it a Roh HaGdeila? Why is it considered so severe? The answer is because the chotosi, because I will have sinned. The big me, the bishvili nivra ha'olam, me will have sinned. And we need to add one more point. Part of the Yetzer Hara's avoda is, and he comes to us and he says, "Listen, firstly, who are you anyway? If you do an avera, it's not the greatest, it's not the end of the world." But then he moves the further step. And he says, and if you do the Aveira, what's going to happen to you? All of a sudden you're going to do the Aveira and then a horn is going to grow out of your forehead. Anything is going to drop dead. So you don't see that anything happens in the physical world. You don't feel either that anything happens in the spiritual world. Part of recognizing a person's godless is to say that, one second, if I commit this Aveira, I'm a different person after having done that Aveira. because it affects me spiritually. I don't see it. I don't all of a sudden change my look. Person doesn't faint and drop dead necessarily on the spot. He certainly doesn't see his spiritual standing change, but a person has to understand that it does. The Medrash, in fact, tells us, with regard to Yosef HaTzadik, the Medrash gives us a little opening into what were the dealings between Ashes Potiphar and Yosef himself. Chazal already tell us that this was an historian of enormous, epic proportion. For a year she tried to convince him to be over an Aveir. Eventually, he says to her as follows. Yosef says, I've been chosen to be an Oilo, to be a Korban. What does that mean? I know that at least my ancestor, Yitzchak Avinu, was chosen to be an Oilo. Maybe I'll be chosen to be an Oilo as well. I could be a Korban. I could be a Korban to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if I could be a Korban to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how can I possibly commit this Aveira? If I commit this Aveira, I'll be rendered as a Korban possible. Then he continues and he says, you know, my ancestors, Yaakov, Yitzchak, Avram, were spoken to by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come and speak to me as well. But again, if I commit this Aveira, HaKadosh Baruch Hu certainly won't come and speak to me. So Rav Chaim Shmulevitz again stresses, you see how Yosef HaTzadik dealt with this Nisayon. This is nothing to do with Gaiva or Anova. I might be asked by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be a Korban. I might be spoken to directly by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I cannot let this Aveira affect me, because I know it will. And if I know it will, I can't possibly be over the Aveira in the first place. In other words, here you see the synthesis. On the one hand, Yosef recognizing his gadlus, and on the other, understanding that that will be compromised as a result of the Aveira. You won't be the same person afterwards. I remember back in school, Daniel, you'll confirm this to me, but back in our science physics lessons, we were taught about Newton's laws of motion. I'm scared to talk in front of a classically trained scientist over here, but we were taught that Newton's third law of motion is that every action has an equal and opposite reaction. As we mentioned before, everything that happens in this world in a physical way is a model to what happens in the spiritual world. Every action has an equal and opposite reaction is true in Ruchnius as well. Everything we do has a consequence. An action, a reaction, if it's a mitzvah, it's a positive way. And if it's an aveira, it's a negative. But there's nothing that is of no significance. No such thing. Everything is of significance and will have a reaction. It will trigger an action and reaction somewhere in a spiritual way. I once heard, in the name of the Dubna Magid, one of the classic mashalim of the Dubna Magid, Chazal tell us that anybody who says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mevater, how do you translate mevater? Mevater doesn't mean forgive. Mevater means you overlook. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is moichel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is seleach, but it says, anybody who says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mevater overlooks, it says, mevatre me'oihi, his intestines will also be overlooked. What does that mean? What does that mean? The Dubna Magid gave one of his famous mashal, and instead there was a poor man who was making a chasma, making a wedding. He had no income, he had no money, he had no way of paying for anything. So he went around town knocking on people's doors, and he managed to schnorr this and schnorr the other, and he managed to find the second-rate hall, and he got a hall, and he found somebody who would play some broken instrument, that would be the band, and he found some dead flowers, fine, that's the flowers, and he got even a bit of food, some donated, he's got everything, Baruch Hashem, he's cobbled together some sort of chasm. The only last thing he doesn't have is cutlery. He doesn't have that many guests. He just needs 100 knives, 100 spoons, 100 forks, 100 cups, and that's it. The chasm's all ready. Try as he might, nothing doing. So he goes to one of the fancy wedding halls on that very day, and he sees a posh, fancy chasana, and he comes to every table, and knives, forks, every single place. The guy has 4 knives, 4 forks, 3 spoons, 4 glasses. Oh, Baruch Hashem, there's loads spare. So he goes up to the Baal Simcha and he says, listen, maybe you could do me a favor. I'm making a chasana today. All I ask you, 100 knives, 100 forks, 100 spoons, 100 glasses. That's all I need. That's all I need. So Baal Simcha says to him, I'm terribly sorry. If I had it, I'll give it to you. If I had it, I don't have. So I said, you know, you don't want to do chesed, that's one thing, but to lie to my face. I've just walked around the hall. I've seen every single place. Each person has 4 glasses and 3 spoons and 2 bits. What do you mean you don't have? So I said, no. I wasn't lying. Every knife there is all cheshbon. One is for the entree, and one is for the second course, and one is for the dessert, and one is for the main course. And then there's one glass for the soft drink, and one for the hard drink, and then there's a whiskey shot, and then different spoons. There's nothing spare. There's nothing spare. I didn't lie to you. I haven't got any extra cutlery that I don't need, that is superfluous to requirement. I'd be more than happy to give to you, but everything here is cheshbon. Says the Dubna Magid, that's what it means. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can forgive with a Koyach HaTshuva, but he can't overlook. Overlooking means it's irrelevant, it's superfluous, it doesn't matter, it's of no significance. A person, Machal HaShabbos, will treat it as if it never happened. No. That's Chayza B'Tshuva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can forgive him and grant him atonement. But to be Mavata, there's no such thing as being Mavata. Whether it's a mitzvah or an aveira, it has an action as a reaction. It has its place in the bria. I once heard, maybe the doctors here will confirm this, that's what it means, that Kodesh Baruch Hu will be mevata on his me'ayim. A person's intestine, I think it's a known medical thing, if you would dissect a human being, so I hope everybody's eaten supper already, and you take all his intestines and line it up, if I'm not mistaken, I once heard different figures, 18 or 20 feet it would end up being. So imagine somebody's very ill, he has a terrible intestine disease. They've got to cut out his me'ayim. He goes to his friend, do me a favor, I heard you have 18 feet of intestines, maybe you could spare me one or two of them. I'm sorry, they're not spare, there's nothing extra. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu created me with this length of me'ayim, apparently it's all needed. That's the middah keneged middah. The person says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mevater, doesn't matter, it's of no significance, it's irrelevant, then his own me'ayim will suffer. There is where a person appreciates that every little chelik of the guf is absolutely necessary. We live in a credit card generation. We're the credit card generation. It used to be, and I'm younger than probably everybody here, but even I remember, when you used to go to the shop to buy something, it hurts. Because you've got to take money out, and you leave, and you have less money. I always tell my children, I don't like shopping, because you always come back with less money. But now they don't understand, because you don't. All you do is swipe the cards. You don't come back with any less money. What does the credit card syndrome do? It has weakened by us this whole notion. Everything has an action and a reaction. You pile your shopping cart, you put in whatever you like, it doesn't hurt, you don't feel it, you swipe the card and you forget about it. Until the Yom HaDin arrives and then you're reminded. But if going into the store and buying a whole shopping cart of goods means you have to take money out of your pocket, then you make a very careful cheshbon. I can afford it, I can't afford it, I do need it, does it make sense, is it worth it? But who needs to make those cheshbonos? I swipe my card. When we don't feel the consequence, when you don't feel the action and reaction of what we do, again, that rubs off on the spiritual world as well. You know, all those members of the Green Party, what they do, they have the big slogans, the ozone layer, and the greenhouse effect. For the main part, they're wasting their time. Why? Tell a person who needs to drive to work every day, do you know every day you drive to work, there's carbon emissions, and you're producing a hole in the ozone layer, and it's going to mean that there's going to increase in just tell me, when does this happen? Oh, it could be as soon as 100 years' time. I say, that's not a guess, later. I don't see the action and reaction. You have to be a very big realist. No, I'm concerned about the green situation of the world, but you don't see it. You don't see the action and reaction. When you don't see the consequence of one's actions, it's much harder to relate to and to treat it seriously. It can be mavati, can overlook, yeah, whatever, so the petrol, the grass is giving out gases, home, save it. As far as I'm concerned, it's of no significance. So in the Oilam Haruchni, that is the same case. Pasos Oilam Aveira. And what happens? Nothing. No, that's our mistake. Everything happens. If a person would only work on this understanding that when he commits an Aveira, something has happened. He has become a different person now. He could be Chayzer B'Tshuva. Kodesh Baruch Hu won't overlook. He might forgive. He won't overlook. That's how we can deal with Aveiras. But if we dismiss Aveiras as making a hole in the ozone layer, doesn't affect me. All my children, all my grandchildren, another 100 years down the line. Not Negea to me. Then Aveiras go the same way. Chalal Shabbos, I come late for davening, I speak Lashon Hara, I won't be careful in what I eat, what I say, what I do, where I go. It's of no significance to me. All of this, I think, is what we can be learning from this passage, just the two words that Yosef HaTzadik added. How can I possibly commit this Ro'o HaGdoilo HaZois? Why is it a Ro'o HaGdoilo? Firstly, V'chotosi, because I will have sinned. Who's I? I'm the descendant of the Ovos, who could be a Korban, could be spoken to by Kodesh Baruch Hu. I've been told that I'm supposed to view myself as the only person on the planet. And if I do commit this Aveira, there'll be an action and reaction. I will be affected by that. And secondly, the Chotosi Leilokim. To whom am I sinning? I'm sinning against the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, where I have a very clear picture. Yosef, clearer than others, of what that means. He truly appreciated the gravity of Chet. And that's ultimately how he was able to be Oymed Ben Yisrael and not be Nichshal in Chet. Which means, as you rightly pointed out, Rabbi Yosef, when we face our own Nisyonos and the Yetzer Hara is battling against us, speak this Lashon Hara, eat this, although it's got a dubious Hechsher, it doesn't matter if you come late for davening, etc., etc., each person with their Nisyonos. So maybe the first half of what he discussed is a very difficult Avoda, because as you mentioned, the gravity of Chet is proportionate to how big you see HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. And that's much more difficult in our times, perhaps. And therefore, Tshuva becomes a bit of a meaningless process, because I didn't really understand why the Aveira was so bad in the first place. But if a person would work at least on the second aspect we discussed, in understanding his own godliness, and how that will be compromised, and how that will be affected, and truly appreciate that you're not the same person post-Aveira as you were prior to the Aveira, then that's something I don't want to risk. I can't possibly risk that. V'chotosi, I will have sinned. My own spiritual standing will suffer. I'll become a different person as a result. Then it automatically becomes a Ro'o HaGdoilo HaZois. It's true. Tshuva might therefore in a way become more difficult, because then I really do appreciate what Aveira is. But the chances are you're less likely to be Aveira in the first place. So in summary, when Yosef is facing this Nisayon and he says, how can I commit this Ro'o HaGdoilo HaZois V'chotosi Leilokim? What he was adding over here is, number one, it's Leilokim, like the day of Yechezkel HaNavi, they truly appreciated Chet because they saw the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. But he was also adding V'chotosi. It's important not just to see the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, one has to see oneself as well. I'm too great for this. Inappropriate for me. Pasnish. I'm the Ben Melech. I'm the only person in the Bria. I'm like other Marishas. Look at my great Yechailas and my great capabilities and understand that that will be compromised if I commit this Aveira. That itself is a reason to appreciate the gravity of chet, and thereby Mitzvah Hashem will be better placed to fight against the Yetzer Hara, not to be nefshel in the first place.